I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 78, off-season episode, but not too many more of those. The season's getting closer, and we're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Yes, an exciting time, Ted, for sure.
So the first thing, obviously, that fans are thinking about, the schedule came out, and there's no game with SU this year. So what happened, and what does it bode, if anything, for the future?
Well, first things first, Ted. Wasn't yesterday your birthday?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Happy belated, brother.
I'm 65. I don't know how much longer I can do this.
I was going to say 35. You're openly admitting to 65. That's completely your call.
Yeah, don't go by looks.
You still sound young, man. You're still doing a great job. And let me make sure that I know 100%. Did you announce on the air your retirement from the morning show at Finger Lakes Radio Group?
Yes, end of January. I'm going to one of the things I hope to focus on is maybe doing more of these podcasts. A lot of the other sports, I think, would like to have them. And if I don't have to get up at 5 in the morning and avoid the deer, then maybe I can get more engaged with the colleges.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Congratulations. I speak for many, many, many people where, you know, your voice has been heard, appreciated, and, a new phase in your career for sure. I know you're far from being done with all this stuff, but you've done a wonderful job with that Finger Lakes Radio Group, man. So congratulations.
Thanks. That means a lot coming from you. I really appreciate it.
Good. So back to that original question. So the short of it is, there's a lot of respect, dual respect, Ted, for the Hobart Syracuse thing. There's rivalry talk, as always. There's history, there's tradition, there's this and that. You know, I just, from my perspective, I feel like the Syracuse staff feels a little bit different about this rivalry, at least currently, than maybe when I first got here or throughout these past 11 seasons. It's just I think scheduling's just gotten to a different place, and unfortunately, the Krauss-Simmons Trophy is still a very real thing. It will be revisited next season, and we're going to coincide and communicate better. And I just don't think the scheduled date and the parameters of which they wanted to play this year were advantageous, healthy, and attractive to us. So we'll get back on track with Hobart and Syracuse. It's a very meaningful game to them. I talked to a bunch of alums down at our coaches convention this past week, and specifically some Syracuse alums that have told me that some of their best memories playing this sport were the Hobart Syracuse game. So they want it, we want it. You know, we got to find a date that works great for both programs, because some of the dates that were offered were just better for one. So we'll revisit it next season. We got a great schedule, though. We're very excited about it, and we know that the Cuse game is very important to all of our alums and all of their alums. So we'll get back on track with it here in the near future for sure.
Is some of this or all of it based on a Syracuse desire to not do 50-50 home games? I think in the past they've expressed the interest, they'd like to host, if not all, most of those games at the Dome.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I don't think I don't think they like to travel at all, if I can be honest with you, Ted. But we bring them in last year when we have, if you saw the outline of Boswell Field and what that day looked like, and we played it on a Saturday and all that good stuff. It just that's perfect scenario for us, but a little bit more of a trap game for them. So I think he sees it as a weekday game, and it should be in the Dome every year, and we don't. So, but we're going to work hard to get to a place where, doing a home-and-home schedule with Cuse is back on track, and we can move forward that way.
So let's talk about the 2025 schedule, beginning with a pair of scrimmages, one at the Poole Family Sports Dome, January 25th, with Vermont. They've been a frequent opponent and scrimmage opponent, and new in terms of scrimmages, February 1st, you'll be going to Binghamton. So let's talk about the two scrimmages.
Yes, two great staffs that I enjoy talking with and working with. In a lot of senses, scrimmages early in the season, Ted, are about communication with the other staff, how they evaluated the game, how you can start to prepare for other opponents, but also get your feedback on your play early so that you know, you can move forward into that first week or first weeks from competition standpoint, you know, a little bit more on track. So, and I trust these guys, these two head coaches in particular, you know, implicitly with, you know, keeping our information in the scrimmages under wraps between us and you don't want the word getting out on how you're playing or what the scenario is. So these are two great opponents that offer those friendships and those relationships that are kind of hard to come by at the Division I level these days. So yeah, Vermont comes back here. They have another fantastic team. You know, one thing that you've seen with them is their ability to grow and play and get better every year. They're continuously in that, you know, American East Conference championship game. And it's the same with Binghamton. They just keep getting better and better and better throughout the course of a season, each season. So we felt like having a home game, you know, I can't imagine on January 25th it'll be outside, but we'll do our best to make it on Boswell Field. And then we wanted to go to Binghamton because, you know, we want our guys to play in a different environment. We always want to have an away scrimmage and a home scrimmage and you know, want it to be difficult conditions, things they have to work through. So it's not, you know, kind of the pretty indoor environment that we always have here. And so we've got a good balance there. Two great opponents, one home, one away. And feel like going into that first game at Canisius after those two scrimmages, we'll be in decent shape.
And I know, of course, one of the things you look for in scrimmages is you look for different kinds of challenges from the two teams. You know, you don't want two teams that are pretty much alike. You want maybe one that is physical and rides hard, maybe one that gets up and down the field. So what are the challenges those teams present to you as a developing team?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first, from a system standpoint, you know, we want to make sure we implement what we want to do, you know, early in these scrimmages and often in these scrimmages. But I think if you pinpoint some things in Vermont, they have some guys that are very tough matchups. They have a couple big, strong attackmen that will dodge close defensemen. We wanted to get our guys some great work on the ball, make sure that we can coach it, evaluate it, and move forward from it. They have a couple great attackmen that I think are tough to cover with one defender. So we're going to put our guys in those positions to play the ball and play the ball well. And, you know, from a system standpoint in Binghamton, we feel like they have one of the best goaltenders in the country and a guy that will test how you shoot, where you shoot. And, I mean, those are two specifics that I think, you know, if you go from a scrimmage standpoint, we don't scout a ton. You know, we provide a little bit of feedback or info on what the opponent looks like. But, you know, we want to compete this season, all season, from a, keep telling our guys, a nameless gray faces standpoint. You know, so the color of the jersey doesn't matter. You know, who's under the helmet doesn't matter. You know, let's make sure we operate and do the things that we talk about doing as often as humanly possible. So we look at some of those matchup things in Vermont, look at the goaltending in Binghamton, and they both ride a little bit here and there. So three teams, that are very comparable. And my hope is, even with a couple acknowledgments of what the opponent looks like, my hope is that we play great Hobart lacrosse in both of those contests.
The first four regular season games were all at home. Before we get into those individually, was that kind of by design at all, or just sort of how it shook out?
A little bit of both. I think, thankfully, Ted, as you know, this dome has given us, great opportunities early in the season where, you know, everybody wants home games, that's for sure. And I think if you look at specifically what Canisius is willing to do, they've come here, the last 5-6 years or so, which is great. And but also the home and home with Michigan. If you look at a place like Michigan in particular, where, you know, we went out there last year and, wanted to play in that great stadium that they have and wanted our guys to be on that campus, see the difference in, you know, the Hobarts and the Michigans and, you know, what it looks like going up against the Big Ten school and da 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 da. And we had to play that game in a high school facility. So because of the weather and, you know, talking with Coach Connery at Michigan, he said, are we definitely playing inside? And I have the opportunity and the gratitude to say, if we have to, you know, we'll play outside if we can, or we'll play inside, both on this campus, which is great. So I think, you know, the home and home stuff worked out with Michigan and Cornell. They You know, they have to come back here this year, and they honored those home and homes, which is great. And then we have this first scenario with Bucknell, who, you know, there are three Hobart alums, three prominent Hobart alums, to be honest with you. Tom Gravante, Coach Fedoraka, and Coach Kerwick, all, you know, Hobart guys that are Hall of Fame caliber, excellent players in that stretch of phenomenal winning capacity at Hobart. They're all coaching for Bucknell this year. They're on the same staff. So we bring that game back. We'll probably have great stories around that whole scenario, but really looking forward to that. So Canisius is always here. Michigan owes us one. They come back. Bucknell comes up here. And then after Bucknell on that Tuesday, you know, the home and home with Cornell. Cornell comes back to Boswell Field on Tuesday, February 5th. So, yeah, great four games at home to start. Hopefully some of them will be on Boswell Field. But, you know, we have the facilities to take care of everybody no matter what.
Like you say, everybody likes to play at home. But one of the advantages of the Poole Family Dome for a visiting team is game certainty, because you hate when those games get postponed and then you're playing Tuesdays and you're playing Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. So you can offer an opponent the certainty that the game will be played one way or the other.
No doubt. No doubt. And if you look at all these teams, Ted, Canisius, Michigan, Bucknell, Cornell, you know, these are all institutions and programs that have to deal with weather as well. So, you know, being able to guarantee games is a big thing. You know, they understand that even if they were to host that game, that it might be in jeopardy in terms of, you know, those early season woes, Ted. I remember when we first started here and you know, the majority of my career as the head coach was always, are we going to play this game? You know, which day? So when Monday rolls around of any contest in February, you start looking at the week, looking at the weather each day, making sure you're talking with the other coaching staff.
Right.
I mean, Ted, it gets exhausting, man. And by the time you get to game time, you're still flipping a coin and hopeful that you can face off and yada, yada. So I've had enough battles to understand, with the weather that is, to understand that having the ability, that, you know, home and away, like you just said, it's always better to play the game. You know, you want to make sure that the game is at a certain time. You want to make sure you can definitely play it. And then you just prepare all week. It's just, it's comforting to know that. And we'll be forever, ever, ever, ever grateful to Tom Poole and all of our donors. I mean, we have not taken for granted once the ability to play with a roof over our heads in February. It's fantastic.
So going into March at Robert Morris on Saturday, March 1st, typically, is there a typical length of these contracts, how long you sign a series for?
Not really. You know, I think it's about the relationship with the program and, you know, having some understanding of with a place like Robert Morris. I think we have a lot of empathy for, you know, an institution's ability or inability to get some home games and have some people travel. I love Craig enough that the head coach there, the brother of, you know, our equipment coordinator, Kevin McDonald. I just, you know, we want to be able to keep great relationships with great programs like Robert Morris and programs with history. You can always revisit old games, and you know, this is, you know, one of those ones that could categorize into rivalries. From, I mean, we've played them in conference championship games and you know, so on and so forth. So. And we just want to make sure that if the game becomes great and continues from an RPI standpoint and it's a good staff, they're good kids, they got good players, then we just keep the thing going. And, you know, with again, some underlining themes of a Robert Morris that, you know, we have some history with. So it's a good game for us and a good game for them.
Saturday, March 8th, you host the University of Albany. That series revived last year at Lemoyne, now that Lemoyne has jumped up to Division I. So those are two natural games, upstate New York rivals. You share recruiting territories, and they're great matchups.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and, you know, Scotty Marr, head coach at Albany, you know, one of the best in the business. And you know, we fought to get on their schedule. They fought to get on ours for a long time. So I'm happy that, you know, we've got this two-year process going. And can't wait for that game, honestly, just because of the type of team they are, the type of coaches they are. Just having Albany on Boswell Field is going to be an awesome thing. So we're going to work hard here over the next month or so, Ted, to figure out how to populate these great home games. If you look at that, just that home schedule in those first 6 weeks, you have Canisius at home, Michigan at home, Bucknell at home, Cornell at home, and Albany at home. We got to get people on campus to get to those games. We just got to.
Yeah.
You know, it's an awesome schedule. It's top notch. It's pinnacle of the sport. You know, you got an Ivy League champion, a Big Ten champion, a Patriot champion, and, you know, potential for American East champion. I mean, you got, these are great games. So, you know, hopefully Boswell Field will be packed, and specifically for, you know, for all of them, but for that Albany game in March where it's probably a little bit warmer. So, yeah, we look forward to hosting them and treating them well.
March 15th at Dartmouth. And you, over the years, other than Cornell, you haven't really gotten to play that many Ivy teams. So that's a great atmosphere, a road game, road trip to New Hampshire.
Yeah, you know, it gives us a little bit of one, a little bit of travel legs that that we're going to need going to High Point, you know, that we've experienced going to Richmond. You know, we're going to have to take two buses out there and, you know, about a 5.5-6 hour drive, which is significant. And, you know, and also I love that new head coach, and his dad's an alum here at Hobart. So, you know, really feel like, you know, honoring this contract, which we had with Dartmouth 2 years ago, is the right thing to do. And it's also a wonderful place, you know, might be a little bit hectic from a weather standpoint, but I mean, who are we to judge that factor? So we look forward to that trip, great team and, a great coaching staff, and seeing if we can develop a relationship with them as time goes on here.
New opponent of sorts. St. John's was a Big East, not Big East. What was the other conference? I'm blanking out that Hobart used to be in.
Which conference are you talking about? The A-10?
No, for Pete's sake, the one we were in before the NEC. My mind's going to mush. Anyway. Anyway, St. John's, anyway, on noon. Ridgefield, Connecticut. Now, is that where we played Vermont several years back?
No, different. Vermont was at New Canaan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ridgefield was. So this game's got a bunch of connections. You know, so Big East and A-10, you know, we've been kind of combining some opponents just because the size of both conferences are very comparable. And usually, Ted, on March 22nd, most teams are playing in conference at that point. So, you know, playing the Big East makes a lot of sense for an A-10 schedule. And one, Coach Fisher's alma mater, St. John's. So, you know, he's going to be geared up for that one. And also you got, you know, Kyle Turry, former defensive coordinator here at Hobart, on staff with his brother. You know, we actually just had a nice dinner with them down at the coaches' convention, and, you know, kept it very light, agreed to not talk professionally for about an hour and a half. It was nice. So, but, you know, we love KT here, always will. He gave us, you know, four outstanding years and is an awesome coach and a great dude. And you know, my kids still call him Uncle Kyle. So we're excited for that connection. And we also go down to Ridgefield, where we have two young men coming to our program from the Ridgefield High School program, the Dylan Penn and Brandon Penn, their twin brothers. I played with their father at Johns Hopkins University. They're coming to play for me here at Hobart, or play for us here at Hobart. And, you know, Jay kind of helped set this whole thing up where we're playing the game at Ridgefield. So we're fired up. There's lots of things that are going into this game, and it's an awesome venue, an awesome high school venue, man. It really is. They've got, you know, some great stadium seating, and it's, you know, tucked into the part of this campus. It's just a beautiful place. So that'll be a great neutral site game, a place where a lot of our alums can get to very easily, and, you know, should have a great crowd there to play in our last regular season game before conference play.
All right, and the conference my 65-year-old mind was trying to come up with was the ECAC that St. John's used to be in back in the day. So sorry about that.
Well, let's leave that in then, Ted, and we can circle back to it. It's all good. It's the holidays. Everybody's in a good mood.
Full notice of what will happen to you when you get to be my age. And then we get into the 5-game A-10 schedule, 3 of the 5 on the road, and it's just, when you only have 5 league games, everyone is just huge, and it's a war.
Yeah, you know, it's I think the word has gotten out too, and it sounds like a broken record continuing to bring up that the coaches convention down there, the masquerade ball, as Bill Tierney used to call it. But I think the word out on the A-10 is getting there, and then you add Delaware to this thing next year. I mean, this is one of the top conferences in the country, just from a competitive standpoint, and how important every single game is. So there's just very little room for error here. And I think adding Delaware is great, just because then you have a balanced home and away schedule. But for this year, we had three home games last year, only have two in conference this year. But I know every single team. There's some new coaching, some turnover in roster. We lose a lot of fantastic players to graduation, and from Richmond and St. Joe and UMass, players of the year in this conference. So there's going to be some different looks and some different feels, and these are all coaching staffs that are fantastic at what they do. They're awesome recruiters. They prep as good as anybody in the country. They play different styles, different systems. Week to week is just it is so different. So we're proud and happy to be in this conference, and very anxious to put a stamp on how we belong in this thing after these first two seasons. So we're in a position this year where we're focused on the health of this team and putting the right players on the field, keeping them on the field. So we're anxious to get into this conference play and basically kind of show the A-10 what Hobart lacrosse really is. We feel like we've done a pretty lousy job of that these first two seasons in this conference. So anxious to take a step forward here this year.
One of the things you've made a big priority over the last couple of years especially is connecting the present with the past. So tell us about the Hobart Lacrosse Alumni Council.
Oh, God, Ted, I'm so happy you asked about that. These guys are doing a phenomenal job. First and foremost, a gentleman named Rafe Mattingly, who has always been a very connected alumni since I've been here, is the chair, so to speak, to the board of the HLAC and the HLAC, as our guys are calling it. But so we've had countless meetings and great agenda points to get this thing into a really good position where, the short of it is, Ted, as we've discussed a little bit on this podcast, the short of it is we want this great alumni network to have such an awesome connection to our guys on a more intimate level. So what this HLAC is doing is basically, as we break our team up into pods, as we do every year, and we have pod leaders, and then we have our captains at the forefront of our communication cycle. They're basically meeting with two HLAC members once a month and having a phone conversation, a Zoom call, and discussing how and when is the right timeline to complete your resumes, to complete your cover letters, to prepare for interviews, and from a different landscape of all different corporate structures. I think that's one thing we took a lot of time to develop, was the diversity in profession on this HLAC. So we have financial backgrounds, we have health and wellness backgrounds, we have tech backgrounds, we have advertisement backgrounds, all things necessary to basically kind of complete a full circle on the many different options our men will have if they do the work necessary on campus in these 4 years. So the first couple meetings, we made sure we got the first one in before the holiday. We've gotten tremendous feedback. So our men are in love with this program. It's one of the things that I think I'm most proud of being a head coach, is developing this thing and putting it into a place where I really think it can develop legs, gain some great momentum, and be a staple of this program for years and years and years to come. So we're happy with where it's at, and can't wait for it to continue to get bigger and better and stronger.
So what do the holidays look like for the guys? Do they have any off period work they're supposed to be doing or anything, or is it strictly be with your family and come back ready to rock in January?
Both. I mean, Ted, you know me well enough to know I'm not going to take time away from their families and continue to pester them with what I know they're very aware of what they need to do on their own when they're home alone, and the communication that needs to continue throughout the team. And we're in a place where they have a great program that they need to do while they're there and come back in a specific type of shape. But we also want them to be where their feet are. You know, we'd be hypocritical if every time we had a meeting, we stand up in every family seminar we have, Ted, I make them all close their eyes. They take a huge, deep breath. And I'm like, all right, let everything go. Forget about what happened earlier today or what's supposed to happen later and be right where your feet are, all right? And blow it out, and then we all give each other a huge hug. And then we sit down and we talk things out for about 45 minutes. So if I'm making them do that, you know, in a 45-minute meeting where we're just, you know, going over a ride or listening to a first-year speech or talking about our credo, I need them from a practicing standpoint to do the same when they're having Christmas dinner or where they're celebrating their holidays. Or so they need to be with their families. They need to be present. They need to make sure they enjoy that time because it is valuable. And I would never want them to take that for granted. We are a family first environment all the way. So that's important to me, and it should be important to them. And then, you know, after the holidays over and we're getting back into the grind of what needs to happen when they return in January, you know, then we'll start sending a few reminders of what we've done this fall. And I always tell these guys repeatedly, Ted, they're just very forgetful. You know, they forget about the sacrifices they've made. They forget about all the work they've done, how great our system was before they left, and all the time we put into the X's and O's and the fitness and the strength building and all that stuff. These are memories we want them to keep so that we can hit the ground running when they return. So we'll continue to send a few reminders here and there, push the communication through our captains and our pod leaders. And I have no doubt in my mind, Ted, they'll come back ready to go. It's been an excellent fall. It's been it's a great leadership core. It's a great group of guys. We've had a ton of fun coaching them. And I mean that, but you know, I think the part that I'm focused on and my staff is, and my team is that we felt this same way last fall. And you know, our great creator had some different plans for us going into our season last year. So we're going to take it day by day, not going to take anything for granted. You know, we love the guys, we love the team, we love the system. We've made great changes and great growths. And so just anxious to get back on January 10th and start one day at a time.
In that last month, when they're back on campus heading into the season, what's the emphasis or what's the push? How do you turn a few of those L's, especially in the league, into W's?
Us, nameless great faces. We're going to talk a lot about, as we did all fall, mature competitors, making sure we're preparing for the right reasons. Like I've told you before, Ted, I don't want our men focused on how the other team feels. I want them focused on us. And I talked to you about that after our Colgate scrimmage. And that's a discipline you need to practice day in and day out. So our focus will be, if we're going to change some of these one-goal games around in conference, out of conference, first and foremost, we've got to keep people on the field, Ted. So we're going to come back and we're going to work as we always do. But we're also going to make sure our volume's on point, our week is structured correctly, and we keep this team as healthy as humanly possible. That's the first. And then the second is, can we focus on the correct system of play and make sure that we are going into Canisius, Michigan, Vermont, Richmond, whatever, right? Can we refer to that team as our opponent and make sure that the approach is the same? So we did something we've never done in this fall. Every drill we had in the fall, Ted, we didn't have a winner or a loser. That's usually what we did. We compete every drill. We keep score every drill. The winner is afforded the opportunity to not run after that drill, or they get to make that choice. But this fall was all about competing for competing's sake, playing as hard as you can, making the best decisions you can, being as fast and as loud and as tough as you could possibly be in every scenario, regardless of what you want the outcome to be. And then the outcome will take care of itself. So that's going to be our focus early, being fit, being healthy, and being fast, loud, and tough in every aspect of what we do.
You played the game yourself at a high level at Johns Hopkins. What did you do as an athlete, and what did you learn about being better each year and each week?
Well, one is that you had to do it. I mean, that's a simple fact, Ted, is that, you know, Hopkins, Hobart, Princeton, I mean, everybody has got to continue to get better. The game is growing. The game is different. The game is in a place that Division I lacrosse is in a better place than it's ever been in the history of the sport. The kids are just better. They're better at playing the game. They get better early. They're playing better earlier. I mean, all the club stuff and you know, all the wrongs of youth sports and this and that, they're real. I mean, they exist for sure, but the kids are still improving, and the changes that we're making, although they're frustrating with people, we changed the face-off, we got the shot clock, we're changing the shot clock, we're da-da-da-da-da. They're all to make the game better. Better than it was when we first started coaching, better than it was when we first started playing. And that's just the truth. Everybody's good. And what we realized when I was an undergrad at Hopkins is that, you know, if we're not getting better, someone else is, man. That's just the truth of it. And so how do we get our guys in a place where we're working towards the future and the growth, but also continuing that present mindset? They're two, you know, it's almost a paradox to some degree. It's tough for these guys to stay in the moment and also focused on getting better. So it's, but it's the truth, Ted. You said it as right as anybody. If you don't improve, if you don't get better, when I was an undergrad, when these guys are undergrads, whatever, someone else is, and you're going to come up short. So we have that kind of that little fear or that chip on our shoulder, always looking over us each day. But, you know, we also know that if we're pursuing this thing from a day-to-day standpoint, that's a healthier way to find victory than it is to avoid defeat. So, yeah, we know, and what I learned and what I'm trying to teach these guys daily is that you got to enjoy the growth process. You got to enjoy the work. You have to know that everybody's doing it. So if we're going to be unique, we've got to find the ways within our program and the structure of our culture to make sure that those one goal games are influenced by some different things, because everybody's hunting down that same thing, and we know that. So makes it great, but it also makes it tough.
This has been the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 78. The season opens February 8th. You can find this podcast, of course, Google, Apple, Spotify, wherever you go, and all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. Coach Greg Raymond, thanks as always, and enjoy this time with your family, and we'll all hit the ground running in January.
Yeah, Ted, thanks. Just real quick, to, you know, Ted, we've had some great gifts come in from our alumni to our program. And, you know, we're in this hard pursuit of, you know, our biggest fundraising year we've ever had. And you know, just from a supporters of the families and friends and everybody of Hobart Lacrosse, we just want to say have a very safe, happy holiday season. We are very grateful for all that you're doing for us on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And, you know, we're in a place where we can continue to get better and succeed because of all the support we have. So, and that includes men like you, Ted. Again, happy birthday. Congrats on that small bit of retirement from, or the change in your schedule, however you want to look at it. But hope you have a great holiday, everybody out there the same. So Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all that great stuff.